And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Or this time of the year, it's 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific daylight time. I think that's right. I always love trying to figure these things out and keeping them straight. And we also stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And we also stream live, and you can listen to us at newspress.com. We archive the programs on the radio show's page. So this program will be available following the broadcast, 10, 15 minutes after the broadcast. And you can listen to it again and send the link to your friends or family, what have you, and have them listen to the program as well. Well, here we are on the weekend of Thanksgiving, as we're hurtling towards the end, and we have 1 month to Christmas, for what that's worth for some of us. Others, it's just another holiday where we get to spend time with family and friends and enjoy the community, if you will. For others, it's pulling out the pepper spray and going nuts, and I don't understand that. That is just something that makes absolutely no sense to me. Is that really, is an assault charge really worth the Nintendo or the PS2, I can't even think of the name of it now, or the big giant TV screen, TV set? I keep going back to that movie that I saw, I've seen it on a number of occasions, called Idiocracy. And I highly recommend that you see it, because that kind of explains a little bit about where our future is headed if we're not careful, especially with what has happened here in California just over these last few days in the shopping malls. Get a grip and just hang on, just relax and enjoy yourself. And this is the time of year to love one another. So please try to do that a little bit more if you can. This program comes your way every Saturday, and we have different guests on it who are giving us new and interesting ways of living and loving and learning how to move forward in our lives. And today is no exception. And we're going to be talking with Nancy Siegel. She is the author of the book entitled Rising Above It. And welcome to our program.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you in the studio. We always relish the opportunity to talk face-to-face live on the program. We are live here on Saturday, the 26th of November, and it's about 9:23 in the afternoon, 9 and 23 seconds, I should say, after 3 in the afternoon. And I want to find out a little bit about this rising above it, because my thought has always been, when there are challenges in one's life, the analogy is used like a brick wall, and your challenges, your struggle is right in front of you. It's that brick wall. Mm-hmm. And you have several options. You can try to beat your head against it and go through it. You could try to dig underneath it. You could also go around it or just walk away from it. But I've never really considered the possibility of going over it in that context. Tell us
new option.
Well, and that's what we're all about here. So tell us a little about this rising above it.
Okay.
What's the rising part?
The rising part is going within oneself and using your own inner strength and your inner power to overcome any adversity that you're faced with.
Okay. And it is the adversity.
Right.
Okay. And it doesn't matter what the news is telling us. We seem to always have them, don't we?
Well, that's how life is. And without adversities, our life would be really boring. And that would actually cause us more stress. So in other words,
we would be waiting for the other shoe
to drop.
Well,
we'd be bored.
If
everything was just like la-di-da and we're just going along and we have no obstacles in our way, what's the point? Why are we here?
Okay.
We're here for, as far as I'm concerned, we're here for lessons and to further enhance ourselves and grow.
Okay. Now, you are an hypnotherapist.
Yes, I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist.
Okay.
Yes.
How does that play into this whole area of rising above it for you, as well as for your, do you call them patients,
clients?
How does all of this work together in that context?
Well, that's an interesting question. And speaking from my own experience, I used hypnosis for several years them throughout my life, and I overcame my own tragedies and traumas from my past. And in the mid-90s, or during the 90s, I was faced with an unexplained illness. And fortunately, I had gotten my training with doing hypnotherapy during this time, and continued on to have doctors kind of tell me that, blow me off and tell me it was all in my head. I wound up with symptoms as severe as paralysis and rigidity and seizures, and they couldn't tell me, they couldn't give me any answers. I was in and out of hospitals. I was in and out of a wheelchair and a walker, and I still had no answers. So with them telling me it was all in my head, I had the best, you know, I had the experience of being a hypnotherapist and knowing that I could access my mind to find out some clues. If there was something there, something would come up. Well, so I did that, and all that came up was that it started with the letter M, and that there was something there, and the doctors hadn't found it yet. So this is over a 12-year period of time, for the next 5 years, that's all I had to go on. And so I used hypnosis to help heal my condition and to persevere through it, because there were times that I was, you know, my body was shutting down, and without knowing what I knew, I probably would have given up and wouldn't be here today to help other people.
So you did so you had the hypnotherapy already in your back pocket, as it were.
Yes.
To help you through.
Yes.
What was it about this particular career path that intrigued you so? Hypnotherapy.
What all started when I was much younger. Years prior to that, I had a traumatic childhood. I had a loss of loved ones, several of them. And then also I was born into poverty, and that's a continual financial struggle, and I'd have to learn out how to get out of that. I also had been through abuse, both physically, mentally, and verbally, sexually. And at one point, I even attempted suicide at the age of 16. So I started to use self-development and look inward, mm-hmm. and started to do meditation. And from meditation grew self-hypnosis. And what I didn't realize at the time, it was self-hypnosis, and at the time it wasn't called that. So I grew into knowing how powerful the mind is and how much it helped me to overcome and work through those issues that I had experienced as a child. So once I was a little bit older and I wanted to expand, at the time I was doing massage therapy, I wanted to expand my business and complement my services with hypnosis. And I thought it would go hand in hand, since I'm not only doing de-stressing the body through massage, I could also help others de-stress and enhance their lives, empower themselves with hypnosis.
And all of these are alternative health and wellness practices that you're talking about.
Alternative or complementary to medical, Western medicine Eastern, yeah.
And that's something that obviously just fit for you? It just kind of rang true for you?
Yes, absolutely. It's my passion. Mm-hmm. I'm a very gifted massage therapist, and I'm an exceptionally gifted hypnotherapist. And it shows in my results as for myself and also for my clients.
Okay. We're going to get back to Rising Above It, which is the title of your book, as well as your website. Just put a .com after the title of the book and you're there. You have a video that starts out your homepage.
Yes.
So people get an idea, they get to meet you and get an idea of what you're all about, as well as, you know, what Rising Above It is about as well. Mm-hmm. But I want to find out a little bit more about hypnotherapy. When I have people on who are in the mind sciences, as I like to call them, I always get a little concerned, like, okay, now, are they going to be scrutinizing me during the interview? And yeah, this guy's a whack job and he needs to be put into a cell and locked away.
Don't we all?
To some degree.
We all get to that point at one point or another.
Yes, we do. But I'm just wondering, how easy is it to hypnotize someone in the area of what you're going to be dealing with, which is obviously a lot of the issues that they've been carrying around that they'd like to kind of release and let go of?
It's fairly easy for most people. I've had a few resistant clients, and it's not too often that people are very resistant to it. Mm-hmm. I've had probably one client that I can think of that he went into a light trance, what we call a trance, and it's just a light state of relaxation, actually, and that's as far as he would go. He wasn't ready to deal with the issue that he was dealing with. Mm-hmm. But most people, they're there, they have a desire to change, to make a change, and as long as they have that desire, it really helps them to go into the state of hypnosis. And I also prepare my clients and educate them before each session so that they understand the basics of hypnosis, what it's all about. I dispel some of the myths, and also I talk to them and educate them about how the mind works. Mm-hmm. And the difference between our conscious mind and our subconscious mind, and what they'll experience during hypnosis.
And an individual under hypnosis will not do anything that is contrary to their core beliefs.
Correct.
And aspects.
Correct. If it goes against somebody's moral beliefs and it's not congruent with what's in the subconscious mind, it will be rejected. So in other words, if I asked you to go out and kill somebody or rob a bank, mm-hmm. and it goes against your beliefs, then you're not going to do it.
Although you give somebody that suggestion and they go out and do it, it says a little bit about where no, but I mean, it gives you an indication.
Sure. Well, you know, we're all capable of doing that, but sure. If we hold a strong moral belief that that's a wrong thing to do,
right.
Which most of us do,
right.
We wouldn't go out and do it.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between I just wish you were gone, yeah. kind of thing. There's a big difference between saying that and
right.
actually carrying out the
absolutely
the act itself.
Right.
Now you want to talk about I was flipping through the book just a few minutes ago, and I came across something that was real interesting, and this is something that has come up in my own experiences as I've gone through personal growth and development programs in the 80s and early 90s. And that's the concept of do versus try.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to play the old the Yoda thing where, you know, you try, you don't do. You don't try, you do. You either do, you know.
You do or you don't.
Yeah, exactly. and that a lot of people that I have been around who are placed in a position, well, they place themselves in this position of being asked to carry out a specific task. And they say, well, I'll try. And then, of course, the retort is, no, I don't even want you to bother if you're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just do it.
Either do it or don't. And, of course, the old Nike
right.
thing was just
do
it. and so this program that I was going through, they modified that ever so slightly with an expletive. But nonetheless, it was still very profound. You either do it or don't do it. But to try, and you even gave the definitions.
Yes.
Of the word try versus do.
To try means to attempt, and to do is to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And many times, you know, people are saying, yeah, I'm doing it, but they're really only going through the motions and making an attempt at it.
And some people would say, oh, come on, Nancy and Richard, you're playing semantics here. You know, if someone says they'll try and do it, well, all they can do is try. Well, if they don't accomplish it versus someone who says, yeah, I'll do it, and they do accomplish it, what am I supposed to think?
Well, it's night and day.
Yeah.
It truly is night and day.
How is that semantics?
It's not.
Yeah.
And it's you either you're doing something, you're taking action, or you are, if I ask you to, if I drop a pencil on the floor, and I ask you to try and pick it up, mm-hmm. will you ever pick up that pencil? No, because if you did pick up the pencil, you would be in the action of doing. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference here.
Right.
Yeah.
This, and I go down this path because it emphasizes the power of words. And these are two very simple, very innocuous words on the surface. Mm-hmm. But the words that we use on a daily basis in our lives is probably a very clear indicator of where we are in our lives today.
Mm-hmm. And we have to be conscious of what we say to ourselves. It's extremely important because the words that we say to ourselves, all, you know, can have an effect on our outcome. Mm-hmm. So it all starts with our self-talk. And what happens is we start with a core belief that has been with us since childhood. And from those core beliefs come our thoughts. And those thoughts, about 95% or more of the thoughts that we have in one given day are the same thoughts as yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. So if you compound these thoughts that we're having over and over, that are self-talk, that's, and if they're mostly negative, mm-hmm. Or doing versus trying, or right. trying versus doing, it can have a profound effect on the ultimate result, because from the thoughts, these thoughts create feelings, and then from the feelings we get habits and desires, which create our motivation, determination, and ultimately we either take action or we don't, and this creates our reality. Mm-hmm. And it's a cycle that it happens spontaneously and simultaneously, and people need to be aware of that. And what we say to ourselves is truly important, because it also has an impact on the subconscious mind. Because our conscious mind mm-hmm. handles is like the, it's the adult, it's the boss. It handles our language, our math skills, our decision making, our analyzing. It also creates the words, which communicates. Those words are communicated to the subconscious mind, and they show up in the subconscious mind as images and pictures and feelings. So those words that we choose consciously have an effect of what goes on in our subconscious mind, mm-hmm. and creates habits. That's why we wind up getting into, how do I get into this cycle of bad habits of eating, or it's a big, enormous thing, complicated thing that's happening all at once.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, it's not until later that we realize that we're stuck in a negative pattern, mm-hmm. or a habit.
Now, you had said that you were, if I'm correct, you were born into poverty.
Yes.
Okay. And a lot of people, even people who are searching, they're trying to find their purpose in life. They're using The Secret or the Law of Attraction. They're taking these different programs, and they're getting the books and the CDs and on and on and on. And they're trying to shift out of that space,
mm-hmm.
and they're just not having any luck. And then the concept comes that, well, maybe this is just my lot in life. This is just, you know, I was born into this space, and this is where I'll die,
mm-hmm.
because there's no way for me to get out of it.
And that goes back to the beliefs. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, because they find themselves, it's not happening for them quick enough, or they put a time frame on it, and that they go back to that old belief that this is just meant how their life is meant to mm-hmm. be.
Yeah.
We get to control our lives. We get to control what our choices. And I made a decision years ago, like, I was not going to have that for my life. And I made a conscious choice. And eventually I got out of that poverty cycle. It took a while. And now I live a normal life. But it also, going back to the subconscious mind, there are many hidden beliefs about money and about that we gather from our parents, from our environment, from, you know, I often hear like people that are from people that are just like middle class or below that have an income, and they say they'll judge rich people.
Yeah.
And making judgments on rich people and the stereotypes that go with rich people, like rich people always have money to spend, or they always have money. Mm-hmm. And money is the root of all evil, and it's not. It's the greed that's the root of all evil.
Right.
And so they get unfairly judged. And so that can also prevent those beliefs of, like, if you've got more money or the grass is greener on the other side, you know, can stop people from achieving more income in their lives. And also, money is energy, and mm-hmm. everything is energy.
Yeah.
So what energy is attached to money and in your thoughts, and you have to look at it as a whole. It's very complicated.
But we even get contradictory messages from the institutions that are around us. We are told when we are doing history lessons about the turn of the 20th century, Ellis Island and the immigrants that came over here, and the one phrase that you hear all the time in that context is that this is the land of opportunity. And then you take a look at the paths of many of these people who came over to the United States from other countries, and what they did and how they started these different companies, starting from a street vendor, what have mm-hmm. you, whatever the case may be, to major corporations in the 60s and 70s and so forth. And then you have, on the other side, you have our IRS telling us, and even Congress, and of course the messages that we're getting today, is that if you make over a certain amount, we're going to nail your butt mm-hmm. by 50% taxation kind
sure.
of thing. So it's like, okay, a land of opportunity, I can make as much as I want. And on the other side, the system is saying,
what's the incentive?
What's the incentive to do it now? And
right.
so you have, there's another mixed message that we're getting.
Right. With the message of the land of opportunity, the country was selling it. You know, it's advertising. It's the slogan of America.
That was the marketing plan for that time.
Yes, and the same with hypnosis. How hypnosis works is that it is based on accessing the subconscious mind to accept a suggestion. So with any type of marketing or advertising, it's all based on that, is accessing the subconscious mind and creating new feelings and desires that will get people to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got people to come over to the America because it's the land of opportunity, and the sky's the limit. So now things are changing.
Yeah, and I used to think, well, wait a minute, how is it less the land of opportunity for me? I was born here. I'm a native. Than it was for the immigrants. How is it less for me? And that's kind of where we'll kind of leave that particular item. I want to come back when we're going to take a break. I'm going to talk more about Rising Above It and some of the techniques that you've developed. Matter of fact, the subtitle of the book, Rising Above It, is 25 Solid Strategies to Prosper in Adversity. And we'll talk also about that word, prosper, because we've kind of touched upon the whole aspect of prosperity, but from that monetary aspect. And maybe we'll pursue that when we come back.
Okay.
I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Nancy Siegel. She is the author of the book entitled Rising Above It, and we want you to stay with us. Up next, we're going to be talking with Beth McDonald, our AAA editor. Don't go away.
The Chari Center of Health with Deepak and Rupa Chari bring you this health tip.
Here's today's Chari Center of Health powerful quick tip for natural weight loss. Water lowers the amount of fat stored in your body. Drink water to lose weight. Try to drink a minimum of 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Water is the safest and most effective weight loss supplement on the market today. Being even 1% dehydrated can cause a significant drop in metabolism, which can also interfere with weight loss. Here's how. If you drink enough water, your kidneys will do their job of excreting toxic waste products from your body, and your liver can focus 100% on burning stored fat for energy. So the more water you drink, the less fat you'll store in your body, and the less water you drink, the more fat you'll store in your body. So drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day. Other benefits in addition to a better metabolism include great complexion and better muscle tone. Here's another secret. Water prevents you from overeating. Water creates that feeling of fullness and helps to suppress your appetite. Just drinking one glass of water 30 minutes before a meal is a good way to keep you from overeating at a particular meal and enhances your digestion. Preventing overeating, which is one of the main causes of weight gain, will not only help you maintain your current body weight, but will also help you to lose weight.
And water has zero calories. If you substitute all your sodas, coffee, teas, and beer for a glass of water, you could lose a good amount of weight. If you were to replace 2 bottles of soda with 2 bottles of water every day, you would be cutting 500 calories from your daily diet and potentially lose a pound a week. So be sure to drink at least 64 ounces of water throughout the day for the benefits of weight loss, to prevent overeating, and to increase your metabolism. Take your health to the next level for the new year. Go to charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com. Or call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. This is New Paradigms for a New World. I'd considered that as the title, but I like it better as the subtitle. We have no other subtitles here other than that. Most of the players of this program are firm, strong, and very important contributors to our broadcast. And I am, at this time of the year, but at all times, extremely grateful and thankful for Beth McDonald and her contributions to the radio program. You're welcome. It is fun to do these segments. I learn a lot. I have begun that process of shifting my consciousness away from Mercury in retrograde. Oh my God! Mercury.
Yeah.
What can I learn now? And at this particular point in time, it's epiphanies, enlightenment, keeping your eyes and ears open, as well as your mind.
Yeah.
And that's a great theme for this time of year. I often say for any time of year or for the whole year. But hey, if you're going to take a slice out of the calendar and say, we're going to do it here, then let's do it here.
And yes, that is exactly it. You know, Mercury retrograding in Sagittarius, the sign of the seeker, the visionary, is one of the best places it can be because it, you know, Sagittarius rules enlightenment and spiritual wisdom and education, philosophy, your higher mind, you know, all those things. And so, and this is the time of year when, you know, the harvest season is ending. Mm-hmm. We're beginning the vision time for our next manifestation cycle. What do we want? You know, what are we the most grateful for? You know, what do we want more of?
Yeah.
And what do we want less of? And that involves thinking.
What a concept.
What a concept. And Sagittarius is one of those signs that rules the mental processes. Even though it is a fire sign, it's more about those intuitive flashes of brilliance, you know, those aha moments that there's a lot of synchronicity between the energy of Sagittarius and the energy of a Mercury retrograde. And so you put those two together, and this can be one of the more benefic, benevolent Mercury retrogrades. And then you throw in the eclipses, and you've really got a trifecta. And so I'm really telling people to allow time. Don't overschedule. Don't overbook. Stay away from Black Friday. You know, it's not about the food. It's, you know, this time of year is not about the food. It's not about the spending. It's really about connection and communion. And so go there.
It's an extraordinary time as far as thought processes. I was sharing with someone just not long ago about some incredible experiences in my early years in this industry, where the station I was working for held this wonderful little campaign gathering up toys for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the distinct pleasure for 10 straight years of being Santa Claus.
Oh.
And one year I actually tried to grow the beard and hair and then color it with that spray-on stuff.
Uh-oh.
I highly recommend nobody ever do that. Big mistake.
Rent the wig and the beard.
That's it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was an incredible opportunity to connect on a level with children who have been abused, and they were in foster homes and not had a great starting out of their childhood, to have this experience to connect with them, even as Santa, sharing these things. And those are the kinds of experiences that we want to find ourselves in, especially at this time of the year,
of really
giving back.
Really giving back in whatever way you can. If it's not materially, give with your time, give with your efforts, even if you're just picking up trash in the neighborhood while you're walking the dog. I mean, do it.
Or even as you're walking down the street, passing people, depending upon what time of day it is, good morning,
hello.
Good afternoon, good evening.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful day, isn't it? But just a kind word.
Be of good cheer.
Exactly. It can't hurt, I guarantee you. It also can't hurt to contact Beth McDonald at Beth McDonald Consulting or 963-0842. That's 963-0842. And Beth, we are going to be talking to you on the 3rd of December as we head into the final month of 2011.
Yep.
1 year away from that auspicious day that everybody is, people thought, they were concerned about Mercury in retrograde. They got nothing on 2012, December 21st. But people, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
It's like Y2K, I guarantee.
Right. And the rapture of the spring.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Beth, thank you so much, and I wish the best to you and your family, and have a great rest of the weekend, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
You have a message that others can benefit from, a meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present, a workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
From the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, this is NIH Health Matters.
2.5 hours a week of moderate aerobic physical activity can lead to health benefits for adults. Dr. Richard Troiano at the National Cancer Institute adds that regular physical activity can also reduce the risk of some cancers.
The strongest evidence for a benefit for physical activity is with colon cancer, where we see about a 30% reduction for people who are more active than those who are inactive. There's also a lot of research on breast cancer, where the average effect is about a 20% reduction.
The Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans describes the types and amounts of physical activity needed. For details, visit www.health.gov/PA Guidelines.
NIH Health Matters is a production of the NIH Radio News Service from the National Institutes of Health, an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I'm in the studio with Nancy Siegel. We're talking about her book, Rising Above It, and it is 25. I've actually flipped through the book, Nancy, and
You didn't read it?
Well, I did read it, but I flipped back. I was flipping through it, and I came 25 Solid Strategies to Prosper in Adversity. I want to talk. Before we ended our last segment together, we were talking a little bit about money and prospering. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though, the three or four top subjects that people will talk to with their intuitive, whether the person uses cards or a crystal ball or they're just a psychic of whatever ilk, if you will. It's relationships, work, home life, and money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and money is sometimes first, and some, but those are like the top four.
Yeah,
because it pretty much covers everything.
Right, it's important.
But when we talk about in this context prosperity or to prosper, that sometimes doesn't have anything to do with currency.
Not at all. When I speak of prosperity, and many other people too, is people get confused that prosperity equals money. Prosperity does not equal just money.
Mm-hmm.
Prosperity equals a rich, enhanced, fulfilled life in any way and shape that it comes to you. You have prosperity of love and happiness, prosperity of whether it's material things or whether they're intangible things.
Well, what would you suggest? Is there another word we could use to try to, I don't want to hammer it home, but mm-hmm. to maybe better emphasize what it really means rather than the word prosper because of that connotation that it's tied to the dollar sign?
People just have to remember to think of it widespread versus
bigger
just
than,
tied
yeah.
to money.
Yeah.
And I even do it myself. Sometimes I catch myself. I'm like, oh, it's just not money. It's, you know, I live a prosperous life. I have an abundance of things around me that fulfill me in my life that I have no, I think... I am prosperous,
mm-hmm.
and I prosper in everything that I do. I'm successful in everything that I pursue if I really want it.
Right.
And if it's really right for me. If it's not, I have to drop it to the wayside, and maybe I'll come back to it, maybe I won't. But
you talk in your book about mind mapping. Now, our minds are chattering like crazy all the time. How in the world can you get it to quiet down enough so you can map it? But first, tell us, what is mind mapping?
Mind mapping is a way to set a goal onto paper to create a visual map of what you're going to achieve, what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. And there's some people do an outline. Left brain people, the people that are very linear thinking, will do are real good at doing outlines, and they can do it that way. Well, I'm a right brain person, and I need to have abstract.
Right.
And the more abstract, I think, the better I do. So, mind mapping is where you start off. You start off with the ultimate goal in the center.
Okay.
And it's kind of, it might be a little bit difficult to explain it over the radio, but it's in my book. And from there, if you go around like the clock, mm-hmm. numbers on a clock, and you go from 12 to 1 to 2, and you draw a circle. And so what's your first step that you're going to take? And you can and go around in a circle. However, or you can go back. Either you can do it either way. You can backtrack also from the ultimate goal. What comes right before that, and then prior to that, and then what else do you have to do? And you fill it in, and you can make extensions off of those
subtasks
yes.
or what have you.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so what I do is I draw circles.
Okay.
And it helps me. You post it and place it on your wall where you're going to see it all the time, mm-hmm. and it works.
Now,
it keeps you focused.
One of the first steps that you talk about, of course, is writing it down.
Right.
And whether it's the mind mapping.
Mm-hmm.
So this is more getting the mind to follow what it is that you want, whatever the desires. I want a new car, mm-hmm. if that is what you're needing, mm-hmm. or a new job, mm-hmm. or I want to fulfill my life's purpose, whatever that may be. I want to, you know, have a yoga studio, or I want to go into massage therapy.
Right.
Again, whatever your
writing it down,
aspect is.
Putting it on paper is truly important, because you're sending a message from your subconscious mind onto paper,
right,
where you can visually see it, where most of us are visual people.
Right.
And if you place it someplace where you are always going to see it, or if you have a little meditation area.
Right.
And it's a good reminder. Whether you're consciously aware of it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. sometimes you'll just see it, but it'll stay in the back of your mind.
Right.
And ultimately, you can achieve that.
Okay. The thought has occurred to me. We have up on one of our it's on the inside of one of our doors at home is I think we call it a dream board.
A vision board.
Vision
yes.
board. Yeah.
Okay. I encourage a lot of people to do that. Lately, I've been it seems like the thing I've been encouraging people to do the most is to create a vision board, especially with the new year coming. It's a great way to start the new year of like what you want to achieve, and you get a magazine, cut pictures out, words out, anything, you know, the sky's the limit. You can put whatever you want on there, and put it in your bedroom or in a place that you can see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've accomplished my vision board in a matter of less than a year. I think it's probably like 6 months to 8 months that
okay.
most everything that I had on my vision board,
okay.
the last one that I did, I've accomplished.
Okay.
Or I've come close to it.
What does it say about someone who has had a vision board and maybe less than 50% of those items have happened?
That's a good question.
What's up with them?
Well, one, they could not really want those things.
Okay.
Or they have some major blocks that they need to continue to look a little deeper into themselves and work on their inner self to see what's blocking them, because obviously there's something would be stopping them from achieving those things.
Well, now, what about
they're not a getting.
Okay. And what about you know, we talked a little in the last segment about money and about the institutions and the messages that we receive. And we have groups of people scattered around the country in different places, and they start out with the word occupy, and they're protesting what they perceive as an unfair system.
Mm-hmm.
And I am wondering if the issue is less with the system and more with the fact that they, as individuals, haven't focused
feel
on
cheated.
Well,
or,
I go back to the analogy of the brick wall, and I share mm-hmm. this. I use this analogy of the brick wall when I use the passage from the Bible that says, "Resist not evil," because that's what it says. Resist not evil. It doesn't say resist evil, meaning put up a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, says turn your back on it. Put your energies into those
right.
things that you want.
Exactly. And that
could that be the case here with these folks that, you know, well-meaning as they may be, they want to blame somebody else.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying the system isn't unfair in that in as they're describing it.
Right.
But
you're absolutely right. When people focus on blaming or they're focused on the negative aspect of something, it's they should be focusing on what they want
mm-hmm.
to achieve and okay. what they want. The ultimate outcome is to focus on the outcome
mm-hmm.
so that eventually, if you're truly focused on it and you truly want it, you can make some type of impact
right.
or effect on what it is that you want.
Exactly.
So blaming, sitting there and blaming people, that gets you, what is it doing? It's not accomplishing anything. And that goes, whether you're occupying or not, we do it in our daily lives, especially in relationships. You know, you did this and you did that. And no, you did that. And, you know, pointing the finger and blaming is just a waste of time and energy. You have to look inward and see what your responsibilities are and adjust if necessary and move forward.
Rising Above It and risingaboveit.com is the website. My guest is Nancy Siegel. And Nancy, my next question to you is, who is Nancy Siegel?
That's a good question. I am a certified hypnotherapist, and I help people to overcome their adversities that keep them stuck and self-limited. And I move them past their roadblocks and barriers to help them achieve their greatness, which we all deserve. Had I known the secrets to living a prosperous life that I do now with the help of hypnosis when I was a child, you know, it would have helped me tremendously. And I think it's something that people of all ages need to know, whether you're a teenager or whether you're 90 years old, to know how the mind works and to know how our thought processes impact, and affect our lives, and whether it's from the smallest things in our life to the overall picture, it's tremendous. And I'm here to help educate and help people overcome their adversities, and also to help them understand and get the most use out of their mind from within. They have the power within themselves. I don't care who you are. You can, most of us don't have the confidence or that can help us further ourselves and move forward and achieve those successes because of all the negative thoughts that we have about ourselves, because those negative thoughts have a harder, people focus on them more so than they do the positive.
Right.
And, you know, if you give somebody a compliment and they'll say, oh, no. And why not just say thank you? And
yeah,
most people won't.
I have to say that that's one of the things that I had to learn, because I always wanted to expound in some way on the compliment, thinking that I could make it better, you know. Well, you know, I da 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 blah 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 blah. And now it's just
say thank
you. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you.
And
also when somebody gives you a compliment, just say thank you and don't compliment them back.
Right.
Because you're not receiving that compliment from that person.
This is not an exchange.
And you deserve to receive it.
Yeah. This is not an exchange service.
Right. And people have noticed that I don't do that. I stopped doing that a few years ago when I realized, like, yeah, why do I have to give you a compliment back? Because you're giving me a compliment. Thank you. And I said thank you.
Yeah.
And a few people have pointed that out to me, and they get offended that I don't compliment them back. And I'm like, you gave me a compliment. I received it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Please don't expect me to give you a compliment back. And not that I don't want to compliment you, but I stop myself purposely from doing that. And I may compliment you later, though.
Right. Well, and because the opportunity may present itself. But sometimes it's kind of like without the giver, there can be no receiver, and vice versa. There has to be that exchange. And in this instance, if you're genuinely giving somebody a compliment, you're praising them for, and hopefully through that, encouraging them and supporting them in what they're doing, because you like what they do. You wouldn't want to do it because that's not your passion, but you like what they're doing. What's wrong with that?
Right.
What's
and also as the complimentor, if you're giving a compliment and expecting something back, you're really not giving.
There's a phrase for that, yes. Yes, it's a hidden agenda.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, you've sort of answered this question, but I'll ask it in the way that I do just the same. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you do?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I have many goals that I want to achieve and that I plan on attaining. From the smallest is that on an individual basis that each person that I work with achieve their goals, help them at least get a step ahead and get further to attain, reach their goal, or help them eliminate some type of negative behavior. And on a larger scale, one is to bring out awareness about mercury poisoning, which I went through, and that each and every person out there, if they're faced with any type of crisis, they have the power and the strength to overcome it. I hope I can inspire people to understand that, and hopefully my book will help them in some way that they can start believing in themselves and believe that they can be successful at whatever they do.
Always comes back to me. It's entirely up to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do it, no one else will.
Exactly.
And in some instances, you know, I've heard this phrase that if I don't pat myself on the back, no one else will. Well, and there's nothing wrong. And see, there's an interesting juxtaposition we could get into. We don't have a lot of time left. And that is acknowledging how good you are at something without it coming across, or maybe not even being concerned with it coming across as egotistical. It's like,
right,
I'm good at this.
Right.
What's wrong with saying
that? And there's nothing wrong with saying that. In fact, I encourage my clients to write down their successes.
Yeah.
And to write down, like, before you go to bed or somewhere during the day or in the morning, you know, write down at least three to five successes that you've had in the day. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, some people, like, I ask them to do that and they're just stunned and they just have like a blank look on their face and they really can't think of a success.
Wow.
Well, one of them is, how about getting out of the bed?
There you go.
In the morning.
Yeah.
That's a success.
Yeah.
When I was sick, that was a huge success for me.
Yeah.
Is, was being able to get out of bed.
Yeah.
And so we take things for granted, you know.
Well, I used to get into a self-debate over the issue of having enough discipline to do a particular task every morning, you know, throughout the rest of my life kind of thing. And I thought, I don't have the discipline to do that. But then I started taking a look at my life. And then, of course, well, you get out of bed every morning and you do this and you do this. And when you get to work, you do this and you do this and you do that every day. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing that every day for as long as you can remember. What do you mean you don't have the discipline? You're full of crap. You do have the discipline. You just have to acknowledge that, and you can do that.
Right. And it creates a habit, and that habit slowly works into your daily activity, and there you do.
Yeah.
There you go. Before you know it, you can have a new habit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nancy Siegel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. It was a pleasure.
Again, the book is entitled Rising Above It, also risingaboveit.com. That is the website. You also have two other books in the last couple of seconds that I have here. Thank God I. It is Triumph Through Tragedy and The Queen's Legacy. And it's basically stories of women. You can join them on their journey and celebrate their triumphs. So these are also some encouraging works that I would encourage people. They can find out about that through your website as well. And again, that website is risingaboveit.com. And this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. And we'll be back next Saturday at this same time, talking with our special guests, as we like to do, and making them available to you via richarddugan.com and the Listen Live link, as well as at newspress.com. And we encourage you to send us an email if you're so inclined to do so. Love to hear from you. It's richard@richarddugan.com. We are also linked to risingaboveit.com. Until next Saturday at this same time, I'm Richard Dugan for Tell Me Your Story. Love, Talal.